This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. I'm your host, Andrew, and with me is my co-host.
Hi, I'm Danny. I'm testing,
because I think I'm going to be drinking a lot of water this episode.
It's been rough. I totally get your feeling. I mean, we got the flu that's like making its cycle through work, and I'm trying to avoid it and dodge it like Neo. Sun just had the flu, and I was avoiding it. I was glad that I was on the Big Island while he had the flu. He didn't sound good at all. He lost his voice. So I was like, nah, I don't want that. You keep it.
You're a grown adult.
You can take care of yourself.
I don't want it either. All right, 6:58. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. And if this is your first time or you're coming back, definitely like, subscribe. We really do appreciate that. Daniela, how are you? How are you doing today?
I'm good. I've been a little bit busy for my 9-to-5 job over here. I've been like island hopping. I was just on the Big Island this past week, trying to avoid getting sick, which is great. But it's just kind of been an interesting beginning to the year. Not a bad one, but I need some time, I need a vacation just away from everybody. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay home. Yeah.
That's all good. It's all good. Well, I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're here. We have some awesome topics to talk about. We definitely have PlayStation stuff, Xbox stuff for sure. And even, you know, what Respawn is cooking up, which is interesting as well. So let's talk about it. Xbox business. Let's get right to it. Xbox did their official Xbox podcast recently to announce some updates, things that we may have thought about that we were going to see very soon from Xbox or any company at this point. So what did you think of the official Xbox podcast talking about Xbox business, the update that they gave? So let's do an overview and then we'll dive into a little bit more.
To be honest, I had to watch it like 3 times to really see how I felt. And you know what? I still don't know how I feel about it. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a good thing. It just came to like, why do I personally as a gamer care if that really makes sense? Like they had really great information, but I guess when it comes down to it, which is the first thing they talked about, which is their exclusive games, like how they're handling that, how that's a concern, I think it was a pretty hefty concern, not even just for the gaming community, but, you know, everybody. When they started taking in and buying up these studios, they made this huge acquisition. Like, are we just going to see Jesse's games only on Xbox? And I feel like they didn't quite outright answer that still. Like, I felt like it was still, you know, using the business terms, using all of those like businessman terms, which I get it, they are a business, and that's what they do. But sometimes I just want a straight answer. If you're going to say that these games are just going to stay on our platform, in our ecosystem, say that. If you're going to say that, you know, you will share eventually when it stops being a little bit profitable for us, sure, we'll share. Say that. Just be direct with me. That's what I'm kind of like.
So let's talk about that, because I know we could spend a lot of time here. One of the things that you said is, why should you care as a gamer, right? And I think that when we think about where we play games, and for most of us, we're between you and I, we have pretty much all the platforms. For someone who's looking forward to a particular title that they can't play on another platform, you know what I mean? I think that's when it becomes, you know, why should we care? Like when we're on PC, we get access to a lot of different titles that other folks do not get. And I think that, you know, I do agree with you that I don't care either. I think it's because of where I am, right? But I would care a little bit more if I was either on Switch only or PlayStation only. And then the thing that you said also which I find extremely interesting, is that when you think about God of War being anywhere else besides PlayStation, it's still kind of like weird to play God of War on PC when it's been a PlayStation title for so long. You know what I'm saying? So I think like, what do you think about that? I think it's interesting to watch that even happen.
It is. There's some games where I feel that way too. Like I can't picture myself playing Final Fantasy anywhere else. It's funny because my first Final Fantasy, I played it on PC, but then everything else was, you know, you had the Super Nintendo and then you had PlayStation. Like I can't really picture playing it anywhere else. Would it be great? Yeah, of course it would, because more people can enjoy it. And even if it is a certain game, like for me, this is a strange one. Okay, let's put it this way. I don't know how this is going to relate, but this just popped into my head. Call of Duty, when I used to play it regularly, I chose to make Xbox the primary platform to play it on. Even though it was available elsewhere, I chose to play it on Xbox because that's where all my friends were. Would I play it on PlayStation? No, I did once and I didn't like the feeling. I don't know why. I just didn't care for it. Like it felt right on Xbox. But I just, there's only small amount of titles that I feel that way about though. Like I would want to have accessibility to play it anywhere, any game. So I just think there's just a very small amount of games that I would, like I would choose one platform over another.
I think there's a lot going on there. Even their thing about, you know, every screen should be an Xbox, right? There's that, right? And I think that's great because, you know, cloud allows you to do those things, you know, a little bit easier than the other way that we've seen it traditionally. But I don't see Halo on any other platform, even though I don't necessarily rule that out, because for a while I never saw Sonic being on any other platform. But once the console, you know, disappeared because that business disappeared for them, then they had to become a title that's on all the other platforms as well to make the money that they wanted to make, right? So I think it's an interesting thing to see certain titles, you know, stay on a platform for an extended period of time. And we talk about this before by way of exclusives and stuff like that. But now seeing some of the titles that they're proposing, you know, did you expect some of these titles? Like there's four that they're proposing right now, Hi-Fi Rush, Pentiment, Grounded, and Sea of Thieves. Although that wasn't announced during the official podcast for Xbox, those are the title that the world actually agrees that these are the ones that may get the first round, you know, of release, or multi-platform release. What do you think about that?
I think definitely for the three of them, I am 100% on board with, but like Diablo definitely makes sense to have that available. Hi-Fi Rush, definitely. And Sea of Thieves, yes. Sea of Thieves has been out for a while now, don't ask me for how long, but I know for a while. And their player base has been pretty strong, I would say. But then it's also very limited as for as long as they've been out. So if they want to expand that, which again, that they brought that up throughout their show about, you know, how can we expand our player base? How can we expand our revenue? And obviously that is by opening it up to other platforms and making that available for everybody to play. Hi-Fi Rush was on a Game Pass thing. So obviously they're not going to have that available for PlayStation. So, you know, make that a paid game on PlayStation. Add to that. And then you have people who are like getting to experience this game. Same thing with Sea of Thieves. But it's like, I guess I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either. I think the other thing too is like when you think about the console sales, you know, currently, I think Nintendo is at 130 million, PlayStation's at 53 million, Xbox is at 22 million, give or take. VG charts, you know, check it out to confirm. Those are approximates there, right? So we know for a while now, Xbox is not necessarily focusing on selling consoles. They're really pushing that we have 37 million, I think they announced for the Game Pass, right? I think that's what they shared, million. Which is a lot of people, right? So they're not really focusing on the console as much as they used to, but they did announce about the, you know, major leap that's going to happen in their next release for the console, you know, when they release that. So I think it's interesting to watch that even play out. But when you think about what they're considering for those games, those are not even games that I'm really like super excited about outside of Hi-Fi Rush, right? But we're already playing that. We already have access to that. So for me, it was just like, this wasn't a big announcement. Like, I think that's the part that we have to like be honest about. Like, maybe we amplified this way more than it needed to be amplified, because this wasn't like a major announcement. This was a nice thing to say, hey, we see how the market is moving and we want to follow suit, right? I think that's what I got from that, but I just want to hold off on that. Any thoughts before we continue with some of the points for Xbox?
I have to mirror and agree with you wholeheartedly, because when you have them up there, like, oh, there's got to be something serious. Like, and then it was like, okay, I mean, it's good information, but would I have necessarily like lost anything if I missed this episode? No, I don't think so. I don't. I mean, it's good to listen to. It's good information to stay in the know. But for the general audience, the general gamer, I think it addresses the whole issue of, you know, exclusive games. But then everything else is kind of like, we kind of already caught on to that. We already understand that. I mean, we understand that it's already like you're thinking about what the next gen is going to be. That's like 5-6 years out. But we know a refresher is coming. We know that, you know, we're halfway through the life cycle just based off of the trends of the previous generations of consoles. We understand that you are kind of in a way, since with all of these, you know, acquisitions that you've gone through and studios you've picked up, we understand that it's just for you to cement yourself even more so into the gaming industry and our consumer base. So that type of information isn't really new. Like, we understand that already. I just want a little bit more of like, just direct, just tell us if you are going to keep, you know, your first party games as, you know, tied to your, like, and I, even then, I understand that. I get it. If you're making your first party games that Microsoft developed or Activision or Blizzard on Xbox and the Xbox ecosystem for either forever or even for a limited time, I get that. That is something that you created that obviously you want gamers to come to your ecosystem to play and to stay there. That is just business in general. I get it. But I feel like that initial part felt like you're trying to be nice and not so businessy, but it felt like you're just kind of dancing around that topic of like, yes, I get it. Why only those four and why only four?
For now, right?
Yeah, for now. But like, why is that the initial, like, just four? Like, I feel like you could, I feel like there's certain games that I can't, don't ask me which ones off the top of my head right now, but I feel like there could have been more than four games that started off in this initial batch.
Yeah, Starfield and Indiana, would you have added those?
Maybe not Starfield, not just yet. Indiana, yeah, I would have definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting. So a question for you, right? And question for you, you know, listening, watching. Do exclusives still sell consoles today? Think about Nintendo, we think about PlayStation, we think about Xbox and what they're doing. Are we still moved to spend $300, $400 on a console because of a game?
I think when it comes to Nintendo, yes.
That's a definite yes for Nintendo.
Yes.
Yes.
All their stuff is exclusive.
All their stuff. Right.
For Nintendo, the answer 100%. Is 100%. Yes. Now when it comes to Sony and Microsoft, no. I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to push back. So do you think Spider-Man 2 moved individuals to go get the PlayStation 5 that didn't have a PlayStation 5, of course, before Spider-Man 2?
No, because the thing is, I think like... Because
I think it moved 10 million. I think it moved 10 million.
I kind of almost don't think so. Like, do I think that there's that's a driving force and that there's people who do? Yes. But do I think it is as apparent and 100% the driving force right now? No. Like, maybe before it was. If you ask me for the previous gens, it is. But I think when it comes down to it, when it comes to the Xbox players, a good portion of them also have PCs. And if there's anything that I've learned is people can be patient amazingly. Like there's impatient players, but then you have them that
you say patient or impatient.
Patient.
Okay, cool.
Patient that they're willing to wait for it to be ported to PC.
100%.
Like I think I see that. The ones that are impatient and they just want to jump to, yeah, they're gonna go and buy. They're going to go and buy the PlayStation. But here's the thing, too. And this is a mentality I still have. And I will say, like, I have access to a lot of these games. But I'm not driven to go buy myself an Xbox right now. I have my PC. I can play a lot of those games. And I have my PlayStation. I can play a lot of those games. But I don't feel like I am necessarily restricting myself on what type of games I have, whereas before, and I don't own an Xbox right now because I have the Game Pass.
Yeah, you know, so
that is something that's really huge for me. But in the previous generations, and for like a long time, what pushed me to really get an Xbox or really get a PlayStation is if there is at least five exclusive games on that platform that I want to play at that moment, I will go and buy it. Will I buy it for just one game? No, because I want to get my money's worth out of the $400, $500, $600 I'm going to be spending on this new console.
Yeah, I don't think we're moved as much to, and maybe we're speaking from a privileged place. I don't know, but I'm not moved to buy a console just for one game anymore. And I think with Epic Games giving free games all the time and Steam selling, you know, all the things that they sell, I think they have a current Ubisoft publisher sale going on right now until the end of the month. But all those things and cross play and all that stuff, there's just nothing that, you know, and PlayStation we're going to talk about later, which I want to bring that in. But and what they're doing, you know, in terms of looking at the market, which we'll talk about a little bit later, there's no reason. Unless you're going for Mario, there's no reason to like really focus on anything, you know, for a particular ecosystem. You know, we know Nintendo does whatever they want, and we're always going to focus on what they're doing. 130 plus million sold. I mean, it's just insane versus PlayStation or versus Xbox is absolutely ridiculous when you think about it. So with every year. Yeah,
one
go ahead.
Thing about the decision, if it and at one point, and for a lot of people, I know this is true. At one point, the deciding factor of what the games that were on multiple platforms was deciding which version. Am I going to play Call of Duty on Xbox or I'm going to play it on PlayStation? I played it on Xbox because majority of my friends played it on Xbox. And then the same thing goes, like, am I going to buy this platform because most of my friends have this one or have that one? Adults, I'm not saying we're not all adults, but if there's anything else I've also learned, and this week definitely brought that to light for me, is as you get older, you start caring less about which ones your friends play on because we have no time. I got tired of like trying to set up game days with friends because we're working. We all have different schedules. We have families. We have kids. So right now I'm just looking for which platform has the best single player experience because I ain't got no friends who got time.
Right.
Like I had to have a phone call with a friend who literally lives 20 minutes away from me. But with our work schedules, I haven't seen him in 8 months. I haven't hung out with him in just as much time. And I just happened to be able to talk to him yesterday for the first time in forever and maybe twice a year. We have time to hang out, if that. So even friends, whether they be friends that you have locally or friends you have online, finding that time, it's hard.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. Like single player experiences, you mentioned that. So I want to touch on that for a second. Spider-Man. Then you have Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and you have God of War. And then you have, I don't remember the name of this particular title. It was a guy with a motorcycle. His name was Deacon. It was a PlayStation exclusive. I don't remember what title that was. If you know in the comments, please mention it. That got to PC. All those titles got to PC. And I see Spider-Man 2 launch and I'm like, that's going to come to PC at some point, right? Because Spider-Man is there. Miles Morales is there. God of War is there. Okay. Horizon Zero Dawn is there. Right. And we can go down the list of all the titles that are making their way. So it's like, and I completely agree with you, there's no rush for the PC gamer. You know, we're super patient. And we know at some point those games are going to cost $2, $4, depending on the platform.
Yeah.
And we're going to get it. That's just where we are with that. So a couple of more things. Xbox leadership seemingly confirms one of my favorite games, Call of Duty, for October. Like, we're not surprised that we're getting another Call of Duty, right? And the current one is really good. You know, besides what I hear people saying online about the current Modern Warfare, I think it's really great. I think it's really great. I'm really enjoying myself when I play that. Any thoughts on Call of Duty? I know you're not on the Call of Duty train, but what do you think about what they're doing with the series from what you hear? I guess from what I talk about it when I talk about it.
I mean, clearly it's still doing good. I mean, as much as people complain about Call of Duty year after year, same thing for every iteration, come October, November, it's just a cycle. And then people like, excited, depressed, get it, love it, hate it, want the next one. It's just a cycle. It's just a cycle that keeps on going. So, you know, whatever they're going to be doing with it, it's not going to change it.
I agree. So when it comes to the largest technical leap for the hardware generation that they mentioned during the podcast, what would you look for in the next machine? And I know you have the PlayStation 5. I never considered it that heavily, right? Maybe one day, but no rush to do that. So what would you want to see in the next major console leap?
I don't know at this point. I really don't. I think something that I would like to see come back, because I think it was one of their greatest accessories and I had so much fun with it that I wish they developed on it more, was their Kinect. I loved it. I really did. There were so many games that utilize that, and like, people are still using the Kinect for other purposes, whether it be for VR or anything that's not even game related. I would love to see that kind of come back again. And then it'll probably be used in some VR, you know, if Xbox ever comes into the VR space, iteration for it. Mm. But I would love another like Just Dance. Okay. And just utilizing the Kinect. I don't know. I just really love that. Maybe I'm like in a small percentage that did, but I had a lot of fun
that
with it.
That talks about the Kinect? I think so.
Yeah, probably. But like, to have a true gaming experience that really required no controller.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. As far as what it could, I cannot remember the content creator. But there's this woman. She created this cerebral headgear thing that takes your neural synapses and you can pretty much play games without a controller, just using your mind. I feel like Microsoft would definitely buy that patent from her and include it into there simply for just accessibility.
Right.
I feel like that is definitely a market that is getting more attention, getting more love for it. That would be a very great, huge investment for Microsoft or PlayStation, whoever gets to it. But I got to send you, because it's so mind-blowing that this content creator has created this, and she's posted clips of her using this and just how she just thinks about something to get something to happen in game. Like, she's just visioning it and then
it's happening.
She just reads it and then it happens. And I'm like, this is really, really cool. I'm just thinking outside of the box now, as far as hardware, about what they're going to be developing, what hard drives, what CPU, what graphics or anything like that. At this point, games look amazing.
They do.
I think they look better on PC.
Right.
But that's me.
Right. And that's the thing. So, yeah. The game, I agree. Games look amazing. But do they look any different than they did a few years ago? Have we made that major jump? And I think that's debatable for any camp, right? When you could look at Batman, the Arkham series, and you could still put that up against any game today, did we really make that big of a leap?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, you know, and no.
Okay. All right.
Because if you are a AAA studio, yes, you have the team to max out and fully utilize, whether it be Xboxes or PlayStation's hardware, to the extreme. You're a smaller team, you can get kind of close to that level, but not quite. So in terms of graphics, it really depends on the studio and team that is working on it to really get that visual difference.
Right. I think the other conversation too is frames that are consistent and at staying at the number that we're expecting it to stay at. We shouldn't be wondering if a game is going to stay at 60 at this point. And even in this console generation, that's still a conversation that people are not really happy about, that certain consoles can't hold a frame that should be standard at this stage with the technology that we have, right? So we're not even talking about even the hard drive space, because at this point, we should have at least 3 or 4 gigs, well, not gigs, TB, right? Terabytes by default in the system, or at least
at the very least.
And that's crazy when you think about where we used to be. Remember when Xbox 360 had the 20 gig hard drive? I think it was at one point. Yeah. We were like, oh my gosh, this is so much space, right? But now at the very least, 4 terabytes at the very least. That should be, you know, standard.
20 gigs isn't even enough for a Call of Duty update.
It's not. It is not. Okay. It is absolutely not, right? So I think, you know, so with the space, you know, 4 terabytes at the very least, holding a frames, you know, 60 at the bare minimum for any console that's going to come out. And, you know, visually, you know, if they could, you know, hold our attention, right? We look at games like, and I think that it's, I don't even know why we're still talking about this game, but this game keeps coming up. The Batman Arkham series, it's one of the most beautiful series, like even now, even to date. You can put it against like Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad does not look better, in my opinion, than the Batman series. I could get hate on that, but that's how I feel. Okay.
You might.
That's how I feel. It doesn't. Right. So you have the hard drive space and of course, RAM, you know, whatever the standard is for the consoles. I don't usually pay attention to that. And then you go into the conversation with the teraflops. How many flops is this or that? I don't think most consumers care about that. They just care about their games working. I think we talk about those things because we give, you know, the stats and the specs of whatever the system is and what's coming out. But when I'm playing a game, I'm not thinking about teraflops. Okay. I'm thinking about the guy that I just need to go get in this domination match because they're at this section right now and I need to go get B. Go get B. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking, hey, these teraflops is, you know, it's amazing. I'm not thinking about that. So I think that, you know, getting back to, and what's the point of all that? Apple has a great way of promoting its products where they don't have to do all that jargon to get your attention. And the whole marketing has been surrounded by that. If you ask a Apple diehard fan what is in their phone, they won't be able to really tell you what is in their phone by way of specs, but they could tell you what the phone does and they could show you all the things that they do. And I think even taking lessons from that, I think will be critical for the next consoles and the next generation.
I am going to say here, and I don't know if this is an age thing, probably is an age thing, but I don't know if I'm going to care about if it's going to boast like, oh, it's natively does 4K. Or 8K. I'm gonna tell you right now, I can't tell the difference between the 4K and the 8K. I can't. I don't know if that's just because I'm old or what, but yeah, I think it's definitely gonna have to be something that can your hardware offer stabilize consistent frame rates. And I honestly can't say if I care if it's gonna like support 8K at all.
Yeah, we don't care. And it's not like we don't care in a bad way. It's just like those things are not our concerns anymore. But what is concerning is the technology that we've seen gradually being implemented in the controllers, you know, the Hall effects and stuff like that, anti-stick drift. We care about that. So their next controller for the next system coming out should have that by default, or at least have the implementation for you to actually make the upgrade. I know BFG, the Pro BFG did that. They're coming out with the Xbox controller first quarter of 2024, which we're technically still in, right? That's going to be the Xbox controller, and it's going to give the swappable Hall Effect replacements or upgrades for that particular controller. Now, any other company making a controller that is a big company like a Nintendo or Xbox or PlayStation, if you're not going to do that for your controllers, especially in the next generation, that's a loss. That's an immediate loss if you don't do that, right? So we talked about the hard drive space. We talked about, you know, graphical fidelity. Controllers are definitely important. Inputs are definitely important. And what you're going to charge for that as well, is it still going to be in the same range that we're paying for controllers right now, $60 to $80, since games are going up to $70, and it seems like that's going to be a standard across the board moving forward, even though some companies are reviewing that, if that's going to be a case for them, right? Because we can get some good games on Steam and they're not $70, right? So I think there's a lot of things up in the air when it comes to the largest technical leap. And I hope that technical leap is the hardware that's going to support the creators, not just the developers, because there's a difference, right? So even what you were saying before, when you were saying the word creator in the context of that particular Xbox, you know, podcast, isn't me, isn't you.
No.
And may not even be you, the viewer, right? It's the developer developing the games. Now, all creators in their own right, understandable, but I think we just have to be mindful of what's happening in that as well. And even game making seems like it's a little bit easier on these current consoles too, for the developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because when PlayStation 3 first came out, it was a struggle for developers to develop on that. That didn't get better until the later half of that cycle for PlayStation 3, because it was a nightmare for the developers at the time. So things have gotten better. You know, I'm not like a Debbie Downer here. Things have gotten better, right?
Yeah.
But
to have more games developed for these platforms.
Right. Right. It definitely has gotten better. Any final thoughts on that? I know we spent some time here.
What I wish he kind of expanded more on was, I feel it was kind of brief on touching on the subject, but he asked about the 2023 year, that it was not, man, I wish I could remember how he said it. It wasn't a productive year for the industry. Hence, that's what led to, you know, these layoffs on all of these studios, even in Microsoft. Kind of wish he kind of went in on a little bit of that, because that's the part I guess I don't understand on that business side of it. Because from our standpoint, they had all of these great sales. They had all of these great releases. Everybody's loving it. It was doing, like, to us, it looked like they were doing great. But then for him to kind of say that it wasn't, you know, a growing year for the industry, I'm like, I wanted to hear more about that. And I think my last thing is it, nothing that was really said during this show, just like only 22 minutes long. I would love, just for a business standpoint, not necessarily a competitive, directly competitive way, but I think it would be great, because he was talking about the industry, talking about, you know, decisions that they have to make as a business and, you know, wanting to grow that, not necessarily, yes, for themselves, but just overall, is I would love to have Xbox and PlayStation just have their own little one-off podcast show to talk about how both of these companies, not like, yeah, they're both trying to grow, trying to outdo the each other, but also to, I guess, enhance the gaming experience for their consumers.
You know what? That is a great idea. And, you know, you're brilliant, by the way, because this is a great segue for Console Wars, where we had, you know, the same company, okay, fighting each other, right? You had SOJ and Sega of America fighting each other when they could have done some amazing things. We could probably still have a console for Sega right now if they just understood that one band, one sound, everybody wins, right? So to your point, it'd be great to see, you know, companies do that, and, you know, they have the conversation, and I'm sure, you know, the friendships allow certain conversations to happen, right? But even in the documentary, we saw that one or two decisions destroyed, you know, what we know of, you know, Sega today by way of not having a console anymore. So it's like, is the conversation going to mean that things are going to be for the good, or is it going to be, you know, for the bad for the consumers? It depends, right? Because internally, if there's infighting, right, in divisions of, I'm not saying that this is the case right now, whether it's Nintendo or PlayStation or Xbox, mentioning all of them, is there infight? If there's infighting, then that doesn't benefit, you know, team morale, and that bleeds into the projects that actually gets released to the public, to the consumers, because those devs, wherever they may be, they leave, you know, and they start their own company.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We see that time and time again. So console wars, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. You're here. What did you think? Let's just touch on that for a second.
I don't. OK, when it comes to both companies individually, I don't feel necessary. Well, they are trying to outdo each other. Yes.
100%.
But that is a business mindset. Obviously, Xbox is going to think they have the better console. PlayStation is going to think they have a better console, because you have to believe in your product so other people believe in you and believe in this and want to buy into this. I think definitely console wars is something that just happens on the consumer gamer base here about where they want to stick their flags and loyalties to. There are some times where I prefer one platform more than the other, and that switches at times. For a long time, it was just PlayStation. I wasn't opposed to an Xbox, but I do not understand the mentality of some gamers where they will never touch a PlayStation. Xbox is the greatest because Xbox has all of this. I'm like, well, PlayStation is really great too, but it really comes down to, and I see it shifting more so now. But when it came to multiplayer games, action games, I definitely saw at one point that Xbox had the lock on that. Not to say that it wasn't on PlayStation, but PlayStation had a lot of your JRPGs. PlayStation had a lot of your indie games. And for a long time, Xbox didn't really have a whole indie game selection. They didn't really have JRPGs. That was strictly, you know, PlayStation. And then you see that kind of shifting and changing, where there's a lot of things that they have on both sides now that is pretty competitive. So I think what just the term console wars is kind of just ridiculous. I just don't understand. I definitely see a lot more, you know, fanboys for either sides will go and fight for it. And then you have Nintendo players who are just like, yeah, I don't care. I just want Mario. I just want Kirby. I'll stay out of this. And same thing with PC. PC is just kind of like, well, we got both of you. It doesn't really matter. But from a business standpoint, I mean, healthy competition is great competition. It pushes it. And I've said this multiple times, even throughout, no matter what market you're in, when you have a competitor and it's a good competitor, all it does is pushes both sides to be the best, to think outside of the box, to produce products and services that people want. Everybody wins in that sense. So is it really a war? I can't really say that I agree with that. It's just even just human nature. When you are in a competition yourself personally and you see your competitor doing all these great things, it pushes you to be a better person, to meet your potential and then exceed it. And then it does the same thing for that other person. And I think the relationship, if you want to call it that, between Sony and Xbox is incredibly healthy and great for the both of them to be doing that. So if Xbox is going to say that their next gen is going to be the largest technical leap in the hardware generation, guess what? Sony heard that and they're like, oh yeah, bet. And they're going to try to do their best.
Right.
Who's losing in that? Nobody. Because as the gamers, we're going to reap the benefits of whatever any of these platforms create for the next gen. We might lose in our wallets, but hey, that's like a whole other different story. That's
a whole other thing, right.
So I think it's just good, healthy competition. Do I think either companies have some negative feelings to each other? That's like a long lasting thing.
Depends.
I think it depends. I think it really kind of depends. I mean, it's competition. Right. Obviously, you don't like when your competitor thinks of something that you didn't think was going to be important and you didn't necessarily invest as much time into. But I think that's just a healthy type of just like, well, damn, why didn't we do this? Why did they get to that first? I don't think it has anything necessarily directly to do with like hate or disgust.
So there was a comment made recently. I believe it was Phil Spencer that made the comment about Helldivers 2. I don't remember the quote specifically, but it was in a sense of he didn't understand why Helldivers 2 didn't go on Xbox. So there's of course competition. There's a healthy tension for, you know, it is business, right? It is business because,
yeah,
you know, the thing of wanting to be everywhere on every screen, you know, that's Xbox, you know, current mission and vision, if you want to say that, you know, but there's still things about PlayStation that we're going to see them hold off on. And, you know, maybe we'll see, you know, that game on another platform. It may never hit the Xbox platform, you know, but it released on PS5 and PC and seems to be going crazy right now. Everybody's loving Helldivers 2. So shout outs to them for everything that they're doing there. But the comment struck me as, you know, it bothers you that this game didn't make it on your platform because you know that could bring a lot more eyes to your platform. And that's going to be an ongoing battle because of where we are, right? It is competition. So there's that.
Which is kind of funny if he's going to bring that up because the same thing can be said about, well, why isn't Indiana Jones coming too?
Right.
Like, you can say that about any of the games that they're holding on to. But because Xbox kind of has like this, I guess, if you want to say monopoly on certain studios here, and they can just make it exclusive to them and just them forever because that's their studio, I think it's just going to make sense that Sony is just going to be like, well, the ones that we have control over, well, we're going to keep it too until you want to willingly share with us. Then why should why do we have to from the start? It's really petty, but I don't think it's necessarily done because Sony hates Xbox or Xbox hates Sony.
It's competition.
We need to make money.
It's business.
That's what it comes down to is we need to make our bags first. Then we'll think about it when, you know, we're not making as much on this project. Okay, now we'll go and share with you because we want to generate more revenue.
Yeah, this episode sounds like a console war to me. 658, we're in it right now. Okay, so RTX HDR, NVIDIA's AI video enhancement tool, works for games also, and it beats auto HDR. I wanted to put that in there because there are things that I do see in tech that I believe that I need to mention here because I want people to be aware of that. So I wanted to make a note with that. What do you think about that? Do you care about HDR stuff? Do you focus on it in your games? Like, what's your take on HDR stuff?
I definitely focus on it. And to be honest, I'm probably such a pleb. I don't feel like I use my graphics card to the full potential that I probably could with all these other additional features. Do I have it on the best settings I possibly can? Yes. But am I taking the time out to like see if I'm enabling, you know, their AI enhancement tools? No. And I just updated my graphics card too just before this.
That is crazy.
I can't say I necessarily directly care at the moment because I think a lot of games look amazing that I want to play. And on top of that, a lot of the majority of the games I play aren't heavily reliant on super beautiful graphics. Like a lot of games I play that are indie games. Like right now I'm playing Card Shark. That's more to enjoy the story and the game elements of it rather than... It's still, to me, it's still a nice game, but it's like, you're not going to compare it to Horizon.
Right.
You're not going to compare it to Halo. So for me personally, and my personal preference, some of these choices and tools with the graphics cards, I don't necessarily utilize. It's cool. It's great for information for other people to have that is a priority for them.
Yeah. So I want to leave it on the table because we kind of gave Halo a lot of grace. We didn't talk about Halo at all in the Xbox segment, but I want to mention that. Although Halo Infinite had a lot of hiccups, going into the game right now, you cannot dismiss the fact that they've done so much improvement to get to where the game is at right now. It is a beautiful game, but it did have a lot of issues when it launched. I want to put that there. Just needed to mention that. Star Wars Mandalorian, a video game reportedly in the works by Respawn. You know, Respawn's an amazing studio. They've done great things already. especially with Apex, which is an incredible game. What do you think about Star Wars Mandalorian with Respawn?
Mandalorian in itself is just getting a lot of love because, okay, I am so sorry for Star Wars fans. I haven't watched it yet still. I think I watched like an episode. There's no reason why I haven't watched it other than just the lack of time, honestly. And I feel like I kind of want to watch that with somebody. But then I found out that somebody already watched it and is ahead of me. So now I'm like, great. But I've only ever heard good things. There's no direct reason why I haven't watched it yet. It's just a matter of time. But just hearing it and the people who are super excited, it just seems like Mandalorian itself is getting a lot of love. And I think they're coming out with a movie, right? And it's going to be centered around just the Mandalorian. I don't know how that fits in. Somebody can explain it to me. But for it to get that much attention, love for the TV show, apparently this movie, to get a game, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either. So yeah, so quick news there. Helldivers 2, we kind of talked about it. Helldivers 2 will never include a PvP mode. And when you have a formula that works, why change it? Especially when you're having server issues right now, and with all the concurrence that you're getting right now for Helldivers 2. So great decision. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, if there's nothing wrong with your formula, don't change it. Don't add on to the mess, especially when you're still trying to clear up capacity messes here.
For sure.
And trying your best. But I want to know what team really decides, like, yes, we have enough servers. It's going to manage this many people or concurrent players. I guess you can't really fully prepare yourself for that. I think that's like one of the elements for these types of games, that you can only hope for the best and that you have enough servers that can handle it. But then at the same time, it's also a really great feeling that you keep maxing this out because people still want to play. But at the same time, it's very heartbreaking because people can't play because they can't get on.
Right.
So I think that's like a love-hate there. But who decides that? Whose job is it to make sure that we have enough servers?
head of the servers at the storage department, you have to do some forecasting, right? So when you think about games that have been like major concurrence on PlayStation, I don't even know before this one, what would be like a major game that would be this massive for PlayStation? So I don't know. If you know, let me know. I don't know.
14?
Okay, fair enough. All right, so you have to forecast a certain amount. And then you implement on top of that, which is, and we've seen it work the other way, where companies don't forecast properly and they have server issues out of the gate, right? So they buffered enough to be where they are. So not like at launch where, I don't know, you pick a game, you know, if it's an EA title or any other title that had issues out of the gate, because they didn't buffer enough, you know, servers, then you have major problems. Payday may have had some issues at launch. Payday 3, okay, from what I recall, based on the headlines and stuff like that. So then you have to add, you know, later on. But you're taking a risk not making that decision. And they're doing good right now. Helldivers 2 is doing really good right now. I may have to just buy it and just stop playing. You know, like, I'm tripping. I didn't buy it yet. But I'm like, this game is like, everybody's going crazy with this game right now.
I think about it. I don't have enough time. Somebody needs to, like,
We have to get you more time. We have to do it.
I don't know when I'm going to find it.
We got to figure it out.
I got to quit my job. I mean, that's not viable.
No, we need you to make that money for your family, of course, right? So the server situation, I think big companies with a lot of data often get it wrong. We've seen in the past, and companies that seem to come out of nowhere get it pretty right. Castle Crashers out of the gate, older game, I know, 2010, I believe, give or take, one of my favorite games. Out of the gate, multiplayer was not good. But over time, they got it right. Now, is that because Behemoth was a particular size by way of company? Maybe. But now the game is flourishing. Scott Pilgrim, another game. Did they get it right out of the gate? I don't remember. But why did I think about Scott Pilgrim? Something must have gone.
No, it must have gone. I don't think it was server issues, though, because I don't think that that mattered for Scott Pilgrim.
Because they do have multiplayer. They do. They do. I don't know if they had an issue there, but we can look into that. These things are pretty searchable. Castle Crashers, 100%, because I played the game from the beginning. I knew they had issues. Some of the EA titles out of the gate had some issues with multiplayer and server issues. Payday 3, I believe, don't quote me on that. I may have to double check with a buddy of mine, had some issues. So this issue for Helldivers is a positive because they went over the concurrent of Destiny 2. They beat that, which is 333,000, you know, plus, whatever it was, right? But I think that with the data that we've had over the years, you could kind of plan for that. Now, did PlayStation know that Helldivers 2 was going to be a huge success, which is a topic that I didn't think we'd spend that much time on, but here we are. I don't know, but they must have known something to not put it on the other platforms. So,
yeah.
So there's that. Any other thoughts here?
No.
Yeah. So yeah, so check out Helldivers 2. I need to check it out too. Sony believes that PlayStation 5 is now in the latter half of its life cycle. I've never been affected by this because I do not have one. Daniela, what do you think about PlayStation 5? What's your take on PlayStation 5? How do you feel about it today?
I like it still.
Okay.
I still like my PlayStation. I think it's had a nice, healthy, like half a life cycle here.
Okay.
But like I said earlier, like, I mean, the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, they didn't release too far apart from each other. And we know that it's kind of like the halfway point for them. So, I mean, this isn't a surprise. Clearly, Sony isn't going to say they're going to make leaps and bounds just yet for this next gen. But yeah, it'll be right back. Like, we'll be talking about PlayStation 6 probably in the next 2 years.
Right.
And probably get it physically in hand and... Five.
Okay, it's interesting. So you're saying already that they will call it PS6
again. We're gonna reiterate, if like the formula doesn't like affect and it's working for them, let's just keep going with it.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like, I don't know.
So
what else are they gonna call it?
I don't know. I really don't know. But what about the games? So we're not really expecting any major games from them until like 2025. That was one of the things that was said recently. What's your take on that? The major franchises, nothing from them.
I think they are preparing for a very rough year. Clearly, in this meeting that they had with their investors and everything like that, like, seemed like they were pretty upfront with it. Like, hey, we're not releasing anything. We're going to have a decline. But it also sounds like, but next year is going to be incredibly profitable. Whatever they have going on, releasing. I mean, Kojima is going to be a big part of that for next year. But that's kind of rough to like kind of like, did they just kind of realize like, oh, damn, we didn't put anything on the books this year.
It's an interesting thing. But like, but they're saying we're going to fill the time with other things, which is the next bullet point. So although we're not going to see anything until at least April of 2025, according to the articles that are out, they're going to fill that time with other releases or ports on the PlayStation, on the PC platform, right? So it says here, PlayStation boss says first party PC releases will be part of aggressive growth plan. So between now and then, we're going to see more PC titles. I know it upsets the individuals who are saying, hey, we only want to see this game here and we don't want anyone else to play it. That's kind of selfish in a way, I think, you know, and I used to be part of the console war, you know, jersey team or whatever. But, you know, after a while, you kind of take off the jersey and say, hey, you know what? I want to play everywhere. You know, I want to play on PC. I want to play on Nintendo. I want to, you know, cross play Warframe with everybody, you know, have all the fun, right? So if that's the case, that means that within the next year or two, we should see some of the major releases that are currently on PlayStation only on PC. And what's left? Spider-Man is left. What else is there? Any new God of Wars or packages of that? we'll see that.
Hey, I'm trying to think about that right now. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure. And I'm sure it's going to also be pulling out from even older games that haven't been ported to PC yet.
That's what I'm saying. So if that's the case, then they have a big library to pull from to actually get that done. So it's not like they're going to be, you know, down as much. They're going to get more awareness with everything that they've built on a PC platform. And who benefits from that? Not just PC players. I know we like to say that, but anybody who decides to go the PC route. It's not, no one's telling you to stay on the platform that you're on. That's a choice that you've made. No one's forcing you to stay there. But go ahead, I yield.
I don't know what to make of it fully. It's just very interesting how Xbox's approach is just kind of a little bit more aggressive of developing these games, releasing these games, putting it out there. Where PlayStation's more of, we're still working on these titles, we're still working on these games. We are going to focus a good majority of ourselves on these other projects. That's not necessarily directly to releasing a game this year. So this feels like they're pulling back some resources to really push this other avenue of their growth plan, whatever that may be.
Can we pull up a list of PlayStation exclusives, if you don't mind? Because I'm really curious, like, what is left? I don't want to use my phone right now. It makes, you know, make it do a whole bunch of noise. Like, what is left? And just, like, name some of the ones that we didn't mention. I know we mentioned Horizon and
The Last of Us.
Last of Us. Okay.
Days Gone.
The guy with the motorcycle, Deacon. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, that's the one you were thinking about.
Yes.
Then you have old classics that were remade. You have Shadow of the Colossus, The Last Guardian. Those are kind of the major ones.
Is that it?
That's Ghostwire, Tokyo, Gran Turismo. That's a long
standing. Gran Turismo. Okay, fair enough.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Which we haven't seen yet, right? On PC.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few. So yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out. Yeah. So Days Gone with the zombies and all that stuff. Yeah, that title was kind of interesting too. But yeah, so that's all we have, Daniela. Anything else? Any final words before we get out of here?
Randomly just popped up into my head here because I think the trailer came out for a couple days ago. Was like, you have the X-Men 97.
I need a link.
We're gonna talk about it because I got chills. I'm gonna be super excited.
Yeah,
coming out.
I need a link, please.
We're gonna have to go through that.
All right,
but yeah, other than that, we can talk about that next time because it's gonna be available next month, I think, on Disney Plus.
Fair enough. No, that's cool. All right, so guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe. We really do appreciate that. I'm Andrew. You can find me here, Andrew Alliance, on YouTube, at Uriah on Twitter. Where can I find you, Daniela?
And you can find me on all the socials at Miss DJM. And thank you so much, guys, for tuning in.
See you next time, guys.